This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir.
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's
go. This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 1 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. The number. Say it with me. You all know it by now. You listen to the station. 800-919-3776. In fact, how many of you out there actually have it, like, stored in your phone? That's what I want to know. When you call and say, yeah, I have it stored on my phone. I ask Siri, and it happens. You can also get us on social media at Bart and Han on Twitter, Instagram, IG Live today.
We'll do it live!
Another disaster. Another absolute disaster. But I had an issue, Bart.
It's on me now.
For the first time, I gave people a very small tour of my house because I had to take everybody to a place that I consider like my Zen place, you know, I got a beehive. I got a beehive now. And I can't, so like it's under the deck. I have a composite deck and it's under one of the planks. And so the minute I try to sit in this beautiful chair that I have, these things are like buzzing around me, like as if it's there. Like it's like a territory battle now. We got a little bit of a gang war happening on my deck.
Did you pee over there a little bit? Did you mark the territory?
Is that what I should do?
No.
How do I don't want to kill them. Like I'm not about chemicals. No. I'm saying, like, I know what you're saying. Mark the territory. But what do I do? Like, I don't. I was trying to like use the hose and stuff. I can't. I'm dealing with anxiety right now.
Yeah. So because it's composite, it should have been probably drilled down with screws.
Yeah, it's
so
fasteners.
So you take the screws off. Mm-hmm. You take three or four of them off.
Okay.
You find some little dude that gets bees, and he goes down there. And if you don't want to bother him, he'll hit it with some smoke. And then hit him with the smoke in his little bee suit. And then he grabbed the nest and take him up out of there. And, you know, they sting his suit, but they don't stink him. Or you can say, you know what, we're going to live in harmony. You're going to be sitting there. You're going to probably have one of those mojitos, sitting out in the sun. You're like, yeah, I want to make sure I get some color. And some sugar going to land on your chest, and they're going to come sting the hell out of your ass.
Been there. That's what I got going for me this weekend. How about you? Anyways, again, 800-919-3776. And let's get to Straight Talk about you at Straight Talk Wireless. A conversation with the Jets that just continues. And fortunately, just in time for availability from the coaching staff, whether it's Greg Williams or Adam Gase. And, of course, the main topic, Jamal Adams, who, as we learned yesterday, is a terrible tipper. And he's also, not only is it now about the contract, it's also about apparently Adam Gase is just a bad guy. That's at least what they're trying to say. He wants out so badly that now he's blaming everything on Adam Gase, to a point now where Alex Lewis, the offensive lineman, fired back on social media about how don't speak for the rest of this room, you know, like as if everybody else likes this guy. You're the one with the problem. It's a you problem. So now Adam Gase has to talk about it on his conference call with reporters, and he said his relationship with Jamal Adams is great.
My relationship with Jamal has been good since the time that I've gotten here, and you know we've had a lot of discussions throughout the season trying to figure out ways to win. And you know, to me, we've always got along well, and there's been a lot of dialogue between us, especially about on and off the field type topics.
So everything's fine, Bart. Nothing to see here. BS translator, let me know. What's it really saying?
It's saying, hey, listen, I don't want to come and put my foot in my mouth. I'm going to make sure that this relationship is salvageable. You said.
Salvageable.
Yeah, salvageable. Yeah, exactly. That's one of my words. You know, so he's trying to make sure that, you know, that's the case in case he has to come back. Now, Jamal went fully nuclear. because he knows that, you know, the one thing that you can't do is go after the head coach or the general manager, even though we've seen Yannick Ngakoue directly go after the owner's son and call him a little spoiled brat. And that didn't get him out of there because, you know, at the end of the day, the teams know that you got to step up. And now with the new CBA, you get punished for holding out. So you can't say, oh, all is forgiven if you hold out, because that's going to be held against you and you won't get that fine money back. So Jamal's going to be stuck in a pickle, so to speak. He's going to have to figure out, and it's going to come a time to see if he's going to report in late July. If he's going to report in late July, if he's going to report and not work out, is he going to come and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to come here, but I'm not going to do anything because I don't want to risk getting myself hurt because I want you guys to try and shop me? Will he ask for permission to seek a trade? You know, we've seen that a lot, right? When they allow you to go out and seek a trade and see what you're capable of getting. And if that's the case, who does Jamal have in mind? And how long have they been working the back pages or the backstory? Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't see Dallas, right? Even if he goes to Dallas, what is Dallas supposed to do the following year? I mean, because now they're still trying to figure out if they got a franchise, their franchise quarterback in Dak Prescott twice. I mean, it goes from $31 million to $37 million. So now you're talking about, okay, if we sign Jamal and Dak is eating up maybe 10% of the between Zeke, Dak, and Tyron Smith, I mean, that's almost like – that's got to be like 30% of your cap. Then you got Lawrence on the other side. It's like
Jamal already said
Jalen Smith.
Jamal apparently now is saying that wherever, if he gets traded to another place, he's not going to demand a new contract right away.
I can't keep up with this now. Whoa. So if I'm the Jets, I'm like, whoa, what's the issue then? So the issue is us.
Yeah, the new story. The new story is it's not really the money. So it's really Adam Gase, and that no one likes Adam Gase. I can't keep up with the story. It keeps changing now.
Does Gase just have a problem with LSU players? Is that the case?
Maybe.
Like, I mean, you think about Landry.
Does LSU players maybe LSU players have a problem with coaching?
Yeah, fair point.
Because there is a bit of a history there now.
Fair point.
Right?
And, this is a very fair point. So, I mean, they got to figure out if they can coexist. And if you can't coexist, say, hey, Jamal, when we get the right deal, I promise you we will move you. And if that's the case, will that hurt him? Because remember the last disgruntled safety that we saw being carried off on a stretcher, flipping the bird to his head coach and his whole team on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Jamal has seen that video. I'm sure he understands that video. And he doesn't want to be that guy. He wants to secure that he gets that money because of the violence in which he plays in. Anything's possible. Any mistake, any injury is possible because he plays with a reckless abandon, which is what we love, but also what makes you cringe. Adam Gase is going to have to say, listen, and that's something that they're going to have with Joe Douglas, because I just can't remember a safety in modern history to have such a public bout with his team, with his organization. I just can't recall one. And if I am, you used to hearing this from corner. We heard this with Jalen Ramsey. And maybe Jamal figures he's so dominant that he can get away and he can act and behave as if he's a corner.
And that leads us to the question from the fans, because I think that's what's important, too. Because why do you make these things public? Because you think that in the court of public opinion, the fans will side with you because the fans don't want the team to trade you. So they'll get mad and they'll put pressure on the team. Do the right thing. Pay them. Because why else would you want this stuff out public? In fact, Adam Gase said, we're going to handle all this stuff in-house, which is kind of laughable because it's already out there. But I'm just curious, again, 800-919-3776. If you're a Jets fan, does this make you appreciate Jamal more? Does it make you and be more angry with the team because, see, the coach is the problem and you got to pay this guy. Why aren't you paying this guy? He's such a leader. Or, you know what, I always liked Jamal as a player, but this is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, it's making me not like him. It's almost he's burning his bridge now with the fan base. Like, I'm tired of this guy. Like, and all these antics and all this stuff now. Is it the coach or is it the money? What is it? Now, there's another coach involved here, and that's Greg Williams. And as we talked about yesterday, Greg Williams loves the kid as far as what he can do for him. And he proved it in the second half of the season where that defense that was injury riddled, that he took a lot of players you never heard of. And that defense was a top 10 defense. And Jamal Adams became all pro as a result. So Greg Williams on a conference call not only talked about Jamal Adams as a player that he loves to coach and looks forward to coaching, it's a player that he says he's got his back.
He has to handle his contract. He'll do all that kind of stuff. He'll do those things. But, you know, we always have to have the next man up philosophy. And we've been able to do that. We'll have to address those things later on. But I'm hoping everything goes well. I love coaching him. And I got his back.
And also he said that Jamal can be one of the greats.
I learned a long time ago, and I've been, now it's going to go well over 2,000 NFL athletes that I've had a chance to coach, is that the number one thing is, for me, especially my personality as a coach, is you never, ever mess with a guy's contract. Let them get it taken care of, have their back, I've got his back on those type of things. He's got to get all that stuff settled. So now, boom, you get back into our setting, and now we're ready to roll. And he knows that. I think the world of him. I've had a chance to coach a lot of really good players, some that are already in the Hall of Fame, and many others that's going to go in the Hall of Fame. And he's going to have a legitimate chance, staying healthy, to be one of those guys later on that we'll all talk about.
Now, the coaches don't want to be, you don't want coaches to get involved in the contracts. That's for the front office. That's why it's best to have a coach who's not really connected to the front office. Like, when a coach is also the guy that handles the contracts or those personnel decisions, I do think while it's good, well, all right, now I bought the groceries, now I'm going to cook the meal. Some people like that. I also think it's better when the player knows the coach doesn't have any other ulterior motives. Like, he's just coaching me on the field, and the other stuff is the free agents, you know, I mean, is the front office's responsibility. So I could hate the GM and still love the coach. But Bart, you know, I think Greg Williams said all the right things here. I think Adam Gase also, like, we're not going to throw any fuel on this fire. So in the end, what do you think is going to happen here?
It's tough, man, because it forces the Jets to hold on, maybe potentially to Marcus May, which you think they would probably have been shopping him in the preseason and during before the trade deadline. But now you kind of got to hold on to him because it's going to be one or the other. Either Jamal is going to be here or Marcus May is going to be here. Now, it's going to be important while we're going through this process, maybe even during training camp, for you to have the confidence to say, you know what, Jamal, we will grant your wish, but it's got to be beneficial for us. But, you know, they can wait to see how Marcus May performs in that role, you know, in preseason and training camp. Like, hey, let's put Marcus May, who's a similar size, similar speed. Maybe Jamal's a little bit more explosive with a short area speed. But let's see if he can play around the line of scrimmage. Let's see if he can blitz. Let's see if he can do this. Because then if that's the case, then you feel confident that, okay, well, we can pay Marcus May less and let Jamal go and maybe get a return on our investment in form of a draft pick, and then be able to get two for one and start creating that depth that you've seen Joe Douglas doing during the entire draft. But he's directly affected Marcus May, who took a little bit of offense when he came out last week and said, oh, now you guys like me.
Yeah, now everybody loves me now. All of a sudden everybody's like, oh, that guy can play. He can replay. Like, maybe it's almost like if you're Marcus May, don't pit me against Jamal. Like, don't use me and say I don't need Jamal because I got this guy when you didn't even talk about me for the last two seasons. So that's probably an uncomfortable place for a player to be as well. All right, we got some calls. 800-919-3776 that I want to get to here. On this, because I do think the fan reaction now is something that's important, because when an agent and a player decide to take things public like this and turn it into a public feud, it's generally because they want to have the fans on their side and they want to get the fans to put pressure on the team. And the team never likes all this bad publicity. So I want to know, how are you reacting as a fan to this? Are you on Jamal's side, or you feel like Jamal now suddenly doesn't look the same to you? Maybe you once cheered for him, maybe once rooted for him, and now you're like, you know what? I don't want a guy like this on my team. Let's begin with Anthony in Westbury. Anthony.
How's it going?
Good.
What's going on, guys? All right. You know, what was it, October last year, Darnold had mono, Jets were like, oh, what are they, 1-5, I think, and their offensive line wasn't really coming to work. So It seemed like they weren't. It seemed like, you know, obviously every NFL team has talent. That team, that offensive line, just seemed like they weren't cohesive. They didn't know what they were doing. I blame that on Adam Gase. I blame every single thing that happened last year outside of Dolan getting mono on Adam Gase. The reason why is because good head coaches like Mike Tomlin, Carroll, you know, obviously Belichick, these guys that you come in, they're going to be, you know, a coach and a GM. and they're going to get the job done in the second half of football games. We never get the job done in the second half of football games. That's been a trend for the Jets. But the thing with Adam Gase that I you know, tried to emphasize, you know, to everybody that I was, you know, speak to last year is we won too many games last year. We needed to lose games, and it sucks to say that. But Adam Gase got a second chance here, and I didn't like what Jamal Adams was saying with the money. I think that, you know, right now it's a tight situation for everybody money-wise. You know, take your sixth, number one, you know, first-round pick, sixth overall, take that money, sit on it. Everyone else in your draft class is sitting on it right now. You're not, you know, you're not some anomaly. Obviously, you know, you had a good year last year. You had two great years, but no one's getting signed right now. No one's signing extensions outside of, you know, McCaffrey. The whole big deal here with Adams is that he singled out Adam Gase. And if I had to choose between Jamal Adams and Adam Gase, you know we would all choose Jamal Adams.
Wow. Okay.
He just put a bad taste in the Jets' mouth.
Yeah. All right. I mean, one thing, though, and thanks for the call, I'd also argue that Adam Gase kept that locker room together, kept that team together, and they stayed competitive for the rest of the season instead of completely fracturing and blowing up. I mean, does he get any credit for that? I'm not saying that he did an amazing coaching job. I think Greg Williams did a great coaching job.
Right.
But can we at least give credit where credit is due about keeping a team together that was, what, 1-7?
Right.
You know, they were going nowhere with their third-string quarterback, and they kept the room together, and they kept playing. There's got to be something about that that you want to at least acknowledge. Ira's in Staten Island. Hey, Ira.
Hey, what's happening, Alan? What's happening, Bart? Hey, you know, you're so right about Gase. You know, you want to criticize him, I understand it. I mean, there are definitely things you could question, but you're right. He did hold that team together. You know, they could have easily ended up 3-13, and they did.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and some fans wish they were 3-13.
That's right. Nobody wants to give him credit. But, you know, Bart, you know, we've discussed this many times. I'm with you with Marcus May. You know, people don't realize how good of a player this is. I know he's had some injuries, but he's definitely more versatile than Adams. You know, Adams is he's a liability in pass coverage. I mean, he's gotten better, but he's up on the line for that's one of the reasons, because they want to keep him out of the coverage. But the bottom line here is I don't know if you saw this article by Tony Pauline, put out a report that if a trade were to come with the Cowboys, that the Jets are targeting Lalo Collins, the right tackle, and a draft pick.
Yeah.
You got to do it. You got to get the deal done.
That's what Bart said the other day. I mean, Ira, that's exactly what Bart, right? That's the name you brought up immediately, Lalo Collins.
For months. Yeah, because now he's the successor for Tyron Smith to slide over to left tackle. Remember, they got him in the expansion draft because it was the allegations of murder or abuse or something during draft week. And I was actually there with him during that draft when he left town when he had the allegations against him that he was all cleared of. But they had to take him in the supplemental draft. So because he was such a good talent, he was supposed to be a top 10 talent, they paid him early. But they gave him, they put him on a very manageable contract. I think it's something like $50 million, maybe 10 over 5. So the Jets can come and absorb that easily. And now you got your two, you may arguably have the best right tackle and best left tackle. And if Becton maybe comes in and struggles, you start him off on the lesser side at right tackle where you deal with a lot more of the power rushers. And you can let Lionel sit over there on the left side where he's more accustomed to, at least in college, but he has more experience. It's either that or Yannick. If it's not Yannick or Lionel Collins, Ngakoue, then it's just not worth it. You hold on to Jamal and you wait till people come up to your price, because you still got two, maybe even 3 years if you decide to franchise him to convince him that this is the place for him to be.
Let's take some more calls here. 800-919-3776. Russell is in Edison. Russell.
Hey, your question was asked if, does this Jamal Adams situation make you feel more for him or the team? And I'm for the team, man. I mean, I don't want that kind of drama on my team, because there's no way for it not to be distracting. And, you know, if you put in the work as a player, from a fan standpoint, I know if you put in the work, you can get paid other ways. Like Troy Polamalu, who is he being compared to, in some respects, head and shoulders. I mean, and I know it's a cliche at this point, but early on when Tom Brady was winning his first couple Super Bowls, he did that Visa commercial, and then they did his whole offensive line was in it. So, I mean, you put in the work, you're going to get paid. And traditionally, from history, when I see players hold out like this, and they want that money and all this talent. They get that money, and then they do nothing. So I feel for the team. Get them out of here. Surround Sam Darnold, who seems New York tough, and let's win some games.
I mean, I don't see him like giving up on him, but I don't see him having a bad season either, because you look at what happened with Ezekiel Elliott. He went to Cabo. You know, we know Jamal's working out. This is going to be a unique year. And that's what's going to make it hard to evaluate, is if Jamal really feeling sorry for himself if he gets off to a slow start, and how does he handle that? We saw the year where the week where he had the allegation, or they had, it was the rumors that they were trying to move him. He had a horrible game, and that's the game in which I believe Adam Gase, you know,
tell you about him though. Like, they mess with his head. Like, he,
yeah, tells me he's emotional, and sometimes he can't control his emotion. That's something that he's going to have to. That's something he's going to have to figure out.
Can you be a leader when you're like that?
You can be. Maybe. Like I said before, I think this year is the year that C.J. Mosley, people realize that C.J. Mosley is really the leader of this team, and he has the right tone and level of professionalism, because he's not an emotional guy where he's been through it. He understands how it goes. He has his money. He's secure. I think we see that he's the leader, and Jamal is the emotional leader. That's okay. Not everybody has to be the vocal leader, or has to be the all-around leader that does everything right. Now, Jamal was that, because it was a void of that type of player. Yeah. But now when you bring CJ, you bring Le'Veon, you know, I think Crowder can be a leader. Sam can be a leader. He stepped up in that role as well. And the more that you get from these players, the less that you're going to need from Jamal, which allows Jamal just to be like, you know, the hired killer or the hired gun, and he can go out and be liberated and don't have to live up under any fall of that pressure.
I'm going to speak as a Jets fan here. This is the stuff that bothers me, because my team hasn't been good in a long time. The last thing I want to deal with is a player who I think's really good and could be part of advancing the cause. He could be part of us being good again, right? And now he's annoyed at everything, and it's all about him. He doesn't talk at all about turning the Jets into a winner.
Right.
And I don't have time for guys like this. And I know it. You can't afford as a franchise when you're this bad to just give up or move on from somebody that's got that much talent. But Bart, I got to be honest with you. I'd rather have a million guys like you who came in with so much pride on the chest and said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to help this team win. You believed in the coach. You and Rex had a relationship. I want guys that want to win because it's about the team winning, because they haven't won here in a long time. I'm a homegrown player. They drafted me, and I don't want that same old Jets stink on me. So I'm changing it. I want to be part of changing it because these fans deserve it. Right? That's like, I need guys like that. Yeah. I can't have guys that 3 years in want to get paid. I don't like the coach. I want more of a say. I've got a big voice. I need you to help me win. We're not another franchise where we've had some winning and, you know, now you're going to act up. That's fine. There's certain places where you can have guys that have a big voice and are emotional and whatever it is, and we'll just put up with it because, you know, because the brand is so strong.
Yeah.
It's so strong that it can handle that. The Jets brand is not strong enough to handle this. And the Jets, to me, the fan base is also not strong enough. I'm too fragile as a fan to have a guy that's about me.
Right.
I need a guy that's about team. And so that's where I am. It's frustrating because he's so good, and yet he's not really about winning with me. He's not trying to help my team win right now. He's trying to help himself win. And that's where you lose me. Yeah. I understand the finances. I understand the concerns. I understand all of it. But as a fan of a team like this and a franchise like this, I can't listen to it anymore. I can't see him out there complaining anymore. I don't want to hear it. And if I could speak to his agent, I would tell him, you're doing this all wrong, dummy. This is not how you do it. This is how you get the guy run out of town, and every time he comes back, they boo him. And that's how you get fans to hate you. You don't ever want fans to hate you. You want them to go, we miss him so much. We loved him.
Yeah. And what you
bad
don't
for him
to,
right now, what he's
yeah,
doing.
If you don't, what you don't want to happen is for you to get your wish, get put, you know, get moved out. They move you to a place like Cincinnati, and then Marcus May steps into your spot and be like, oh, he's doing the exact same thing. Maybe it was just a system.
Well, that's what Greg Williams certainly could prove, right? He certainly proved it with how many other people.
Well,
he had guys that have even heard of playing positions. You're like, damn, that kid's good.
Yeah, bless on.
Yeah.
Talk to Bless on the other day.
A great example. a great example. So, you know, that's where I'm trying to explain it. And I want, again, I want to hear from the fans on it, because I do think now you're part of this discussion, because when they bring it public, they want to affect you, and they think they're going to get you on their side and put pressure on the team. I think the Jets are handling this perfectly. No response at all. Just smile. Yeah. Oh, he's upset, but we love him. That's all right. Yeah. We still love him. We want to be a Jet for life. He wants his money. Well, he'll get it, but he's not getting it now. Yeah. Like, they're handling it perfectly, instead of firing back, instead of anything else. Nope, we love him. Can't wait to coach him again. It's going to be great. That's the right way to handle it. And the way Jamal's handling it is absolutely wrong. I'll get back to the calls here in a minute. I hope I made sense with that Jets take. Point I'm trying to make is pretty simple. The Jets right now, if you're a Jets fan, your franchise is always the butt of jokes. It has been somewhat of a laughing stock over the last couple of years. You have not had a winning team. You have not been in the playoffs. It's just been misery. And so to have a player like this who's disgruntled for reasons that are, like, it's one thing if he had a legit reason, right? Like, the team is just being cheap or something like that. Then you'd be like, come on, why are you doing this to a guy? You know, that's, he's not even due for a contract, and he's a safety. Like, you're not a quarterback. You're not an edge rusher. Yes, you were all pro. Yes, you were a pro bowler. Yeah, I mean, yes, you made some plays that we love. Like, yes, all that stuff. We love everything about what you can be for us. But this ain't the time to be, for make it about you. And so if you were playing for the Seahawks or the Steelers or the Ravens or any of these teams
that
perennially are good, then I could see, like, saying, like, you know what, though? We like Jamal. We got to make him happy. Like, you know, we really have. But this is different. You're only adding to the misery of being a Jet fan right now, Jamal. That's what you're doing. So if you expect fans to be on your side, I guarantee you the majority of them are not. Mainly because I'd love to see you get your money, but it ain't about that right now. You are adding to the misery of being a Jets fan.
And, you know, that's the thing, right? When you have a great player, you got to say, are we winning with him? Or are we winning despite, you know, it's like one of these things, right? Like, I say this about Calvin Johnson all the time. When you have a great player and that doesn't equate to wins, then you don't pay him, because what happens is, like, we may have to rethink the whole formula. And listen, I love Jamal and I love what he brings to the table, but it's just a little bit too early. And listen, I know what I'm doing is, you know, I'm speaking on another man's money, but that's what I'm paid to do. And I witnessed this a couple of times. I witnessed it with Ed Reed. I witnessed it with Antonio Cromartie. Remember Antonio Cromartie came here?
I remember.
And at one point he was making $500,000 and he was, you know, the man opposite the island getting all the smoke. And he performed on that contract for like a year or so. Braylon Edwards as well. Remember, got Braylon Edwards
again,
in
again. You're talking
on
about teams that were successful,
right?
Again, when teams are doing well, you can make that argument, and fans will be like, "Hey, let's not mess this up. This guy's good." That's a completely different story. This is not. It's a bad team. Like, this isn't the time for that. So those other things that you're suggesting, I totally get it. But it's and again, I got to let the fans talk here at this point.
And if he just chill, man, if he just chill and waits 1 year, he'll be able to jump Minkah Fitzpatrick. This is the problem, right? C.J. Mosley, $17 million on the cap. Mm-hmm. Le'Veon Bell, you got one game out of that. Le'Veon Bell, less than 1,000 yards rushing, $15 million on the cap. Jamison Crowder, $10 million on the cap, but he came in last year. Avery Williamson didn't even play last year. $8.5 million against the cap.
Right.
Henry Anderson, who I'm not even trying to be funny. I forgot he was on the team last year. And I forgot they paid him that big money. His cap, $8 million. What did you get from Henry Anderson last year? Everybody would talk about Quinnen and where was Quinnen at. Where was Henry Anderson after he got 7 sacks? So, like, now you look at it. And I haven't even went down to Brian Winters. What did you get from him? $7 million on the cap. So if I'm Joe Douglas is looking at some of these bad contracts Like, man, maybe, you know, we can move the Williamson. That's $7 million. Maybe we can move the Williams.
Let me
that's
clean $15
million.
Right? Yeah, let me clean this up, and exactly. Then I'll get to you. But I can't get to you until I clean this up. But I go back to this, and I promise, we got a full thing of calls. We got to get to
Quincy Enunwa, $9 million. He's not even on the roster. Yes.
So
he's on the injury to retire list.
Give me time to clean this up. But if Jamal, I want Jamal to just come clean. If you just don't want to be a Jet,
yeah,
like if this is
different.
Not about the money and not about the coaching, you're just like, I don't like living in New Jersey. I want to go home. That's all. I just don't want to be here. Just say that then.
Yeah.
Like, I'd respect you more if you just came out and said, you know, this ain't for me. I don't really love it here. This ain't my play. I don't love it here. They drafted me, but because I always said this about the draft. Players don't have a choice of where they can go. And some guys, you're in a place, I don't like to be here. I don't want to be here. So if that's the case, just say that. Don't give me all this other crap, because you're just making it worse as a Jets fan to root for your team. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's get some more calls in here instead of me just ranting on and on. Chris in Fairview. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Good.
Look, I've been a Jets fan for so long. I remember when Keyshawn Johnson caught his first touchdown. That's how long I've been a Jets fan. And it really, you know, the past 2 years, I haven't, you know, I haven't even gone to the game, because it's sickening what's been going on, you know, ever since Rex Ryan took off, you know, and last year, people giving credit to Adam Gase, you know, it was really, Adam Gase is the offensive coordinator. He's not the coach. Greg Williams is the coach. He's the, you know, he should have been, you know, well, I don't even go down that route, but remember what you get. Oh, remember what you ask for. You trade, if you go ahead and you trade Jamal Adams, remember what happened with Revis. What did we, you know, what did we really get for that? You know what I'm saying? And it's so sickening.
Picture him hosting this Lombardi trophy.
Yeah. You got to see him win a championship. Chris, and I appreciate the call. It's the thing. And you don't have to trade Jamal. He can be miserable all he wants, but you don't have to do anything right now. And you can still end up paying him. Just make him wait. But he's got to understand what he's looking like right now. Glenn is in Ramsey. Glenn.
Good afternoon. Alan, I'm also from Long Island, Massapequa.
Ah, there you go.
And then Bart, you and I share a friend, the Goose.
Ha-ha.
Tony Saragusa.
I got a nice burn on my shin messing around with Goose doing the Man Cave show. Thanks a lot, Goose. I call him Sausage Fingers.
He's a good man. His whole family is wonderful. I gotta ask you a question. Now, I know the positions are different. I'm not a Jet fan. Laramie Tunzel went to Houston for two ones and a number two.
Yeah.
Okay, can't the Jets extract that also?
That's my
for
asking
safety?
Price. But that's my asking
not,
price
not for it.
But
that's one thing to have a tackle.
Well,
it's another thing to have a safety.
No, Micah Fitzpatrick went for a number one as well, and multiple picks as well. Micah Fitzpatrick. You know, went from
right,
not two
Miami.
Number ones. Not two number ones. You can get. You might get a one, but I don't know if you get.
I need a one and a three.
Dallas is desperate, and you know Jerry likes to play ball. Okay, and Jerry, if you hold it, if you throw it out there, he might bite. He might bite. A guy like him, he's going to give you. He'll give you what you want, probably. If you say, hey, listen, you want them and you're going to pay for them, then you got to give up the goods.
Thanks, Glenn. That's something I think you don't rush to it, right, Bart?
Right.
You don't rush to something like that.
You want Dallas to see what they have and say, oh, man, like, man, this would be the finishing piece. You know, we need to make a trade for this guy right now, because guess what? Our tackle that we drafted, or our tackle that's behind, you know, Lionel Collins, mm-hmm. you know, he's kind of developing pretty fast, man. Maybe he can shore that side up and we can get two for one.
Let's get one more call in here. Dave in New Jersey. Dave.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on. Along with what Bart said, I think we all need to take a deep breath and trust in Joe Douglas. I think we, by accident, we finally got the real right guy as our GM, and he's smart. He's got a plan, and I'm sure he told Jamal, listen, Jamal, I love you, but I'm not giving you that kind of money, because that's not what I value. And Joe has the fortitude to stand by the plan he has. And like Bart said, he's got to clean up the mess along with his plan mm-hmm. that came before him. And I think if we all take a deep breath in 2 or 3 years, this guy's going to have a team that's going to win all the time, not show a flash in the pan 1 year and then stink again the next year because we went out and wasted a ton of money on guys that don't last the whole time. Plus, he's going to get guys that are not like Jamal, like RJ Draft. 5 guys were captains of their teams because he wants a certain kind of guy, and Jamal's not that kind of guy. Because at the beginning of the season,
he wants to be, though, Dave. Dave, he wants to be. That's the thing. Jamal, I've always believed this. If I have to tell you I'm a leader, then I'm not really a leader, right? Like then that's Jamal wanted everybody to know that he's a leader. Yeah. I mean, it's.
When we were having some trouble, he was chirping in the beginning of the year. He only shut up after we started winning.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, it's true. It was happy.
Remember what they said before when they said that, hey, you know, he wanted dogs and all that stuff. And listen, he's been brought here and by two regimes been told that they were going to win. So he's had a lot of turnover. He's voiced his frustration. And now he's listening to what people are saying, like, oh, well, this is just a year, another year. So he's looking like, man, I'm going to be going into my, you know, fifth year. I'm going into, you know, year number four. And it's like, we're not even anticipating on winning. We don't even think we're going to win or be in the mix of it. So now I got to wait another year. So the only thing that's going to make me be quiet is giving me my money, you know, because now you asked me to wait another year. And so now I'm 25, you know, going on 26. And how much of my prime do I have? Because I play such a violent position and I play it in such a violent way, I don't want to end up like my dad and get hurt before I get to see the fruits of my labor.
And I completely understand all of that. But as a Jets fan, I don't need anybody else adding to the circus.
Yep.
I don't. There's been enough of that going on around here. They've got to eventually stop it. And if you're a player and you want to be here, then you have to know that. By now, he knows what people think of the Jets. He understands that. And if you really care, you'll know this is not the way I should be operating here. But if you don't want to be here, just say it. Just say, I just don't want to be a Jet. Just say that. I'd respect you more if you said that. Than if you're making up all these other excuses, just trying to get yourself traded. Because you're not winning this battle in public opinion. We got calls. We'll get to them. We promise on the other side of this, 800-919-3776. A lot of people want to sound off on the Jamal Adams stuff and Adam Gase's response. And I'm telling you, this is a conversation right now. And by the way, thank you, Jamal, for at least giving us some sports to talk about instead of just talking about COVID and whether they will or whether they won't. Quickly, NBA announced in conjunction with the Players Association that they tested 302 NBA players on June 23rd. And out of those 302 players, 16 tested positive for the coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
That is a percentage of 5.2% of the players.
Are we good with that?
So 5% of the players entering the bubble tested positive.
I'm not a math guy.
Yeah. I mean, so that's it. So those players now will remain in self-isolation until they are cleared. But now if you go into the bubble, you should not have any more cases if everybody does the right thing. That now is what we wait to see is, of course, the fragile of the NBA bubble.
So J.R. Smith is out of the league, but he's potentially going to get in the league. You're going to have to give him one of those. But you're going to have to give him one of those bracelets to track him because
that is so wrong.
He'll go out the bubble like a ninja turtle. He'll use the sewer system. Gotta have it.
He'll go through the Disney. You know they do have those underground
tunnels.
They have underground tunnels all throughout Disney.
I gotta have it.
Man. All right, we got plenty more to get to on Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, here we go, Bart. So the San Francisco Giants are going to do something that I think we're going to see a lot of teams try to do as they're playing in empty stadiums and arenas. At Oracle Park, they are going to offer season ticket holders the opportunity to send a picture of themselves to be placed on a cutout that will be displayed in the stands during home games. The cutouts are made of weatherproof material. They'll be placed as close to their typical seats as possible. And for $99, the team is also giving the option for non-season ticket holders to have their cutout images displayed in the stands. Blitz or Prevent, people will actually pay $99 to have a cutout of themselves in the stands.
I'm a blitz this, and I believe fans will absolutely buy into this. They want to see themselves. They want to see if they can find themselves. It's kind of like, where's
for
Waldo?
$100.
It's kind of, it's like $100. They're like, it's kind of like, where's Waldo? I wonder how many, because you think about some of the season ticket holders, yeah, they usually are bought by organizations and corporations.
Corporations, yeah.
So let's just say you got the old man that's going to get, going to be retiring. You want to send him out right. You get that whole section with just specifically his image. And now it can't be denied. You know what I mean? So now you got, you can have some fun with it, man. Now you can also, you know, put imaging and advertise on. I'm all for the Corona Games life. I like that. That's all good. That's
great. Michael Kay had that idea a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, you know, they're trying it in Europe and it's going over well, but to lay out $100 for this.
Yeah. And then the bottom of the tarp, right? You got the bottom are going to be tarped up, and then you're going to be able to get, advertising.
Wrap it up.
Okay.
All right. We got to move on. All right. So let's talk some hockey. Rangers star forward Artemi Panarin, we know him as Brad, he put out a lengthy social media post. And he said that it's time for the league to fix the escrow system, and if it doesn't, players shouldn't report to camp.
Come on.
So the escrow system is basically a percentage withholding players' paychecks each season. It just maintains a balance in moving money back to the owners in case they have a revenue shortfall. It's a protection for the owners, but the players are anticipating, obviously, a major hit in the escrow this year. So, but the fact that you have this from Artemi Panarin is a couple of things here. Number one, if you ever talk to him, he doesn't really speak English that well. And this was a very well-written couple of paragraphs, which means his agent, Paul Theofanos, did a really good job writing it and then saying, hey, put this on your social media. No, come on.
He can write a lot better than, because he had, so what he had is he had that talk you type, and he said in his language and it translates it. So he can speak perfectly in his language.
Blitzer Prevent, we suddenly have a money issue with the NHL.
I mean, I'm going to blitz this as well, because the NHL has always had money issues, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there were a league that was almost bankrupt and had to develop this escrow system just so they can have a fail safe in case something happened again. They don't have the primetime TV contracts. They don't have the primetime. This is an opportunity for them to get in front of primetime and really, really sell their game, really, really sell their young stars.
Good point.
But it's one of those things, though. They got, you know, the players are walking a tightrope without a net. The owner's got a net, you know, so I feel like they want them to share in this specific crisis, which this is a little different from any other.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're using this restart as some leverage to get what they want. Yeah. All I know is this. I think it's bad play to use Panarin just because he plays for the Rangers in New York, and you know the New York media is going to write
wrap it up.
I think it's a bad job by them. Next topic.
Panarin not going to have no comma splices. He don't know English that good.
Chuck E. Cheese, have you heard about this?
Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so.
43 years, and now all the great pizza, all the games, all those tickets.
Pink eye.
Sometimes. They're filing for Chapter 11.
Oh, man.
Going bankrupt. Going to try to reopen some locations and offer carry out, but negotiating its debt and lease with leaseholders. It's no Chuck E. Cheese, man. Blitzer Prevent. I love Chuck E. Cheese.
I got to blitz this. I haven't been this sad since I saw Jeffrey walking on the side on the side of the highway.
They took Toys R Us from us. You're right.
He tried to hitchhike, so now everything I get got to be from Walmart. And they don't even have an array of toys. They only got like a couple toys. Or you got to go on Amazon, which
man,
you can never find what they want, man. So,
no, we got to hurry up. I'm sorry, but we got two more topics.
Maybe Jeffrey and the mouse can go hang out with each other.
Yeah, so Jeffrey and Chuck E. Cheese are probably going to end up together somewhere. Maybe they can come up with a new business that we'll all go to. Anyways, all right, next one. Tom Brady working out more in group sessions with his teammates, even though, as we told you the other day, Union has told them they probably shouldn't do this. Tom Brady put on social media a picture of himself on the field looking resplendent with a FDR quote, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Blitzer Prevent, Brady didn't realize he quoted a president who suffered from the polio virus.
I gotta blitz it. I know he didn't know it, but hey, listen, Tom, we know anybody that has grandparents, understand, when you get old, you don't care. You'll give a you-know-what meter is low. And Tom Brady's like, listen, I can care less about what y'all talking about. What I'm here for is for this championship, for this ship. So I can tell Uncle Bill, Daddy Bill, whatever you want to tell him, that I'm the man in this piece. You just live here. So I can care less about what y'all talking about. Y'all messing with my legacy, because I got something to prove to Bill, and I'm proving to him year one, not year two.
Tom Brady, LeBron James, both pretty much on the same plane right now, except LeBron's not taking pictures of himself at that makeshift Staples Center.
That dude house.
Prototype at some dude's house. Last but not least, Roger Goodell telling reporters the plan is to, quote, get ready for games at our stadiums and to engage our fans both in stadiums and throughout our media partners. This is on a conference call yesterday.
Yeah, man.
He said the office discussing options with the Players Association, but there's no alternative solutions or any plans indicated yet to change course beyond the status quo. Blitzer Prevent, there'll be fans in stadiums this season for the NFL?
I'm a blitz because, you know, I'm in this old PPE world. What we're talking about is either all fans, no fans, or 18,000 fans, which
percentage
can be socially,
yeah,
that can be socially distanced, much like we're starting to see with NASCAR. They'll find a way to file them in correctly and, you know, do the little test for the thermometer, but they'll be spaced out. It'd be great if you can, you know, get your seat like you do at, like, the dine-in theaters, where you can come in and you know that you're with this particular group and y'all come together and then y'all sit together, then you space out 6 feet, put another person that way.
But just now it's like, who do you have? It'll be first come, first serve. Maybe there'll be PSLs on top of PSLs.
First come, first serve means what? Big money.
Yeah,
it means
who
more
pays
money.
The most?
Yes.
The NBA made it official, what we already knew, July 30th restart. But they just put out the statement, the email, basically a blast email to everybody. It will be at Disney. So they will use the arena, the field house, and Visa Athletic Center at ESPN Wide World of Sports. What in the wide, wide world of sports are you doing?
Didn't they used to have like the little, that's what they used to do with American Gladiators.
Did they? It was there?
That's when the little spear was there. I know that's at Epcot, right?
I don't know.
Never mind. I used to love me some Jimmy.
Yeah, I love that. I used to love that too.
Nitro.
So much fun. Have you seen this new show? Floor's Lava.
No.
Oh, it's on Netflix. You got to see this thing because all you're doing is ripping on people because they're just so unathletic and goofy. Like, and you're like, man, don't do that because it's so easy because we're watching it. Like, they're experiencing it the first time and you're yelling at them, don't do that.
I was watching yesterday.
I was so like caught up in it, and I'm looking at my wife like, "Man, we would rock this thing. Like, we would dominate this.
Go there as a couple, man, power couple."
Yeah, but I'm too late.
Next day, your back would be hurting, but it's all good. That day, you're gonna be live.
This one mom, I felt bad because she just this one dad like face planted like five times. You have to jump. Like, jump from object to object and not, because obviously the floor is lava, right? So it's all this red water. But he would, every time he dove onto something, he was trying to land like a cat. And instead his face would just, like, bam, right into
spoing. Spoing.
And this one woman jumped and, like, just completely, you could just tell, like, crushed her ribs. Yeah, and she just took it like a champ. She was like, I'm good. I'm good.
You just playing my weekend out for me.
You gotta watch it. Your kids will love it too. It's fantastic. And then what my daughter?
They play that game. They play that.
No, mind. They do it all over the house. It's great. Hey, they got to do something.
Yes.
Sorry. So the NBA, they made it official. They'll be at Disney. It's starting July 30th. They tested everyone. 5% of the players came up with the virus. I think that's fairly manageable. Yeah. And now, of course, we'll see is once they're in the bubble, will that be an issue? So LeBron will get his chance to win a championship or at least play for a championship. We'll see as that's coming up. But LeBron was also outspoken about a couple of things and not related to the NBA. This has to do with Colin Kaepernick. Now, before we play you that, you remember yesterday we talked about Michael Silver, the reporter from NFL Network, who said he was understood that there's several teams that are looking to sign or are interested in working out Kaepernick, bringing him in, and one coach who's legit, like, wants him in, and the holdup is that they can't do anything right now because facilities are closed because of the pandemic. And Colin Kaepernick apparently said that it's news to him that he has no idea that all this is going on.
The invite's in the mail. It's in the mail.
Yeah, snail mail or something. Like, he doesn't know about all this stuff. So while that's going on, LeBron James on Bloomberg talking all things sports, NBA, everything else, he had this reaction to the NFL and Roger Goodell sort of saying we were wrong a lot about that stuff with Colin Kaepernick, and now that they would love to have him come back into the league.
One thing I can speak from is what I'm a part of, and I'm a part of a league with a great commissioner in Adam Silver, and he's always listened to the voice of his players, and I've always respected him for that. He's given us an opportunity to, when we feel something that's very wrong with society, that's very wrong with what's going on in our communities, that we could speak upon that and use the NBA shield to back us. And I have nothing but respect for Adam Silver. As far as the NFL, I'm not in those locker rooms. I'm not with those guys, but I do understand that an apology, I have not heard a true official apology to Colin Kaepernick on what he was going through and what he was trying to tell the NFL and tell the world about why he was kneeling when he was doing that as a San Francisco 49er. So I just see that to be still be wrong. And now they are listening some, but I still think we have not heard that official apology to a man who basically sacrificed everything for the better of this world.
What do you think of that, Bart?
Is
Goodell not say enough there?
Well, he mentioned Colin in support, but I'm sure it's still some legal ramifications that he really can't go into. But if I'm correct, man, I could have swore a couple years ago when this thing was happening, LeBron came out against Colin and said he was doing it for attention or something like that before. See, it's revisionist history sometimes. But I'm trying to find it, and I am going to find it, because I know he said something like not in support, and then he came back and apologized later about it. I mean, I think it's unfair sometimes to Roger Goodell to really hold him accountable for what he was doing for the company business, the owners that he works for, and shielding them like he always does. But not everybody that's on Colin Kaepernick's side today was on his side yesterday. So we can't, throw rocks in glass houses if we weren't 100% filling him in 2017.
I think that Goodell said as much as he could say. Like you just said, right, something about legally, right? There's only so far he could go there.
Yep, they got that paperwork.
Explain that.
Well, certain things that he can't say because, Colin Kaepernick was part of a lawsuit, and we were talking about it wasn't, collusion, that the owners didn't collude. And if you come out and say, hey, we should sign him, and they sign him, it's like, well, what happened last year could reopen up the case. It's kind of why Colin Kaepernick last year wanted to make sure that he had certain things underneath his terms when he had the workout that came out of nowhere.
Right.
So Georgia, it's like, yeah, sometimes you have to keep it in certain parameters.
Let's take Ariel and Great Neck on this. Ariel. Ariel, let's try
Hello?
That connection. Yeah, there you are. Okay, now we got your connection.
How are you doing? How are you guys? Are you guys
good,
doing?
Very good.
Happy Friday.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, I wanted to bring this point. The NFL is a business. And in 2016, Kaepernick wasn't a good player. He kneeled. And the ratings went down, fans stopped watching. They took him out. Whether the reason was right or wrong, the feelings right or wrong, it doesn't matter. This is a business, and people don't understand that. Now the ratings are going up because people are becoming more understanding. They want to bring him back. He's not a good player. He's not a starting quarterback. He's replaceable, but still.
Ariel, I don't know if you could say that now, because I think the game has changed a lot.
Yeah.
I know it's only been 4 years. But it really has changed a lot, and his style of quarterback is actually more common, and offenses are more suited for the way he plays, that I don't think you could just say with conviction he's not that good. We know he's talented. It's the best situation for him that matters at this point, but it's getting late for him too as he's getting older.
If Nick Foles can win a Super Bowl doing RPOs with not even a legitimate threat of running and keeping a ball other than the Philly special, then I think Colin Kaepernick and his physical attributes added with his ability to throw the ball, maybe not sometimes always accurate, maybe not always going back and being able to read the rotation of the safeties, but he is still a very highly skilled quarterback, which the game has adjusted to him, not him having to adjust to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now that not only just has the game changed as far as the linemen, but it's changed as far as the skill set of the skill players that's going to be surrounding him. They do these type of offenses. They do these type of offenses in college. So now you have an array of teams that he can go to and be effective. I'm going to phone.
Was Bryce need something? You want?
No, it's all good. Go ahead, Bryce. Go upstairs and tell your brother to do it.
He showed me his toys before.
I gave him a drumstick, and the ice cream went down his pants because he was, I guess, eating it, and it fell down. So he just took his pants off. He's literally walking around here in his underwear.
That's funny.
And that's just how he's rolling right now. He's back over watching YouTube now in his shorts. His shorts are now right here.
I wish people could see this. They are. His shorts.
I don't see the ice cream, but yeah, no. Thanks a lot, son. take your kid to school day. Take your kid to work day, I guess.
Remember what the woman in Florida said? We had it on audio files yesterday. Right?
What'd she say?
You don't remember that? Anthony, hopefully we still have that somewhere.
At the end, I don't wear a mask for the same reason I don't wear underwear. Things got to breathe.
Things got to breathe,
yeah,
Dad.
No doubt. Well, Bryce is free balling right now. Don't even worry about him. He good. He Gucci.
And I'm free.
What the hell were we talking about?
I don't know. There it is. Free balling. Anyway, it's a good time to ask you if you're missing baseball. If you are, tune in Sunday night for an MLB Classic. Game 7 of the of the 2003 ALCS, Yankees-Red Sox. I don't remember that game. Do you remember that game? Of course you do.
Fifth?
No, you remember that game. Come on.
What is
now.
It? 2000 what?
2003. Aaron Boone. Oh, yeah.
Ah, Booney yeah. Baby. The this shot heard around the world,
like, you
man.
You can't just say tune in Sunday night for an MLB Classic.
Yeah, that's
like, this is like tune in Sunday night.
That's why
he's
here.
Greatest games ever. Aaron Boone, extra innings, game 7.
You know what? I don't know.
No, I do. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. It's literally like one of the great moments in Yankee fan history.
Man, Anthony got one of the best drop games in business. Man.
Yes.
I'm just going to
presented by
put
Progressive
it out
Insurance.
There.
Coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. All right, I got to do this to you. Dan Orlovsky, your good friend, was on Get Up, and he's playing the blame game about the Jamal Adams situation with the Jets. Listen.
Jamal Adams is a young, talented player who's famous, has a ton of money, living in New York City, and he wants out. I mean, that is because of the head coach. That is damning because that is everything every young athlete or NFL young NFL player wants. Live in an awesome city, have tons of money, be famous because of football, and have your youth. And he wants out. That to me, if I'm Woody Johnson, is a big deal.
See, that's the main thing that you have to worry about here with the Jets, and maybe that's why you play this, is that Joe Douglas can say, we don't have to do anything here. But that doesn't mean the owner doesn't go, let's just pay this guy. This is getting embarrassing. This is we love Jamal. We love, like that. The owner is always, that's always the question mark here. That's always the variable. Is if you make a stink publicly, will the owner just finally like supersede the GM and say just pay the guy?
No, because Joe Douglas was just as big of a hire as Adam Gase was as the drafting of Jamal Adams. So you brought Joe Douglas in here because of what his reputation was, who he was trained by, his experiences with being a part of a championship team twice, one being part of the Baltimore Ravens, two being part of the Philadelphia Eagles. So you want to open up that Pandora? I just read off all the bad contracts that are on the books for the Jets right now. You want to open up Pandora's box where you have to pay Jamal early? Then what are you going to say to Quinnen Williams if he becomes elite these next 2 years? So next 2 years, now you're going to be talking stuff to him. You got to have to see Sam Darnold if he has an outstanding year this year. So you're going to be paying Jamal this year and then looking up and say, okay, well, here you go, Sam. You're our quarterback. We know we can't win without you. You're going to be our quarterback for the next 15 years. And guess what? You had one great year, and now we're going to reward you after one great year. No, you can't do that because now you got Becton right behind him. You know what I mean? So now you'd be open up Pandora's box. You're going to be setting a precedent because you've been picking in the top 10 for the last 10 years. Literally.
That's why you do this. That is why you do this. I'm telling you. You go for the owner and you make the owner then squirm and just say, give the player the money, because owners generally, they love the players. They want the players to be their best friends. And so that's why you play this game. 800-919-3776. Chris is in New Jersey. Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan.
What up?
Good. Bart, you're the man. You're the GOAT. I've been a big Jet fan since 97, and the years you were there, man, it was beautiful to watch.
Man, I'm hoping that's going to change a little bit. We can get some more memories. We didn't have no good memories since I left, man. We got to get some more. Hopefully not this year. I think next year is the year. I think maybe.
I just need to see Sam show me something, and then I start believing, like, okay, now it's time.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more, but I just, and I might ramble a little bit. I apologize. I'm a huge Jet fan. You know, but in regard to the Jamal Adams situation, first and foremost, he's one of the best players by far in the NFL, right? So just by being top 10, you know, in my opinion, he definitely should get paid. I just question, and I kind of go back and forth with this because, you know, with everything going on in society, you know, I definitely want to see the players getting paid and seeing the players get more of a voice. That's without a doubt. But at the same time, you know, I just struggle because I'm a coach, right? I coach high school kids. And you know, it just seems to me like, okay, you have a contract. Your contract isn't up, right? Like, just like if you're a kid on a team, okay, you sign up, right? And you got to earn your minutes, right? You got to earn your playing time. You know, the contract is the contract, right? And the contract isn't up. So why is going on social media complaining first that you weren't winning enough, then that you weren't, you know, then you're not getting paid enough, and now it's the coach. So like I just don't understand the angle that he's trying to get out there. You know what I mean?
He's trying to get out. I thanks, Chris. I think Bart. I just think if he doesn't want to be a Jet, he should just say it.
He's scratching the chalkboard.
Yeah.
I think he's seeing all these moments, and he wants to. Okay, he's popular, but he's not famous. And you only get famous. You remember, you make your name in the regular season. You make your fame in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. And he wants to be able to be invited to the party so he can take that next step to superstardom, right? He's good, right? But who's more famous? Who's more recognizable, or whose brand is bigger? Jamal or Honey Badger, right? Honey Badger, because Honey Badger went and showed up and showed out in the biggest moments in the playoffs, and he was the difference, the reason why they won the Super Bowl in Kansas City, or one of the big reasons. Jamal needs to be on the stage. No different than Zion needing to be on the stage. No different than Khalil Mack needing to be on the stage. Like, nobody wants to be the best of the regular season players. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's only, and again, for Jamal, having New York as a market does help him as far as name recognition.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, look at you. You're a great example of somebody that
exactly
postseason had a moment.
I get bumped
and everybody
up.
Knows you. Like it was a playoff game, yeah. And it was a big moment.
I made all pro. I was all pro in Baltimore. Nobody even knew it. They was like, Ray, who? No, that's not Ray's other guy. Ray, yeah. Hey, Bart. Hey, can you tie Ray and Ed Reed? Let me holler at him. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is.
Yeah.
The markets do matter. The stays do matter.
But the playoffs
matter.
Also matter. That also is a big part of it, too. What you do in the playoffs. That's a great point that you made. Vern in Roosevelt. Vern. Hey, Vern.
How
you doing?
Much respect. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we got you now. Thank you, and thank you.
All right. How you doing, fellas? Bart, big fan, Jet fan. You get me worked up sometimes. You get me worked up sometimes with your hate for LeBron, but
LeBrick.
Today, no, LeBron, the king.
Okay.
But anyway,
LeBrick James.
Today, you said, I was calling about Jamal Adams, but real fast, you said you really can't recall LeBron not saying that he didn't support Kaepernick. That's completely false.
Completely false. I'm saying I would check. I don't know if he did or didn't.
He said that he stands with him. He supported it, but he wouldn't be sitting. He wouldn't take a knee for the anthem.
Okay.
But he said he agreed with his movements, but he just wouldn't kneel.
Okay.
But Jamal Adams, am I right or wrong? Y'all say it's his contract. He had to play on his contract, but in his contract it says after 3 years, if he outplays it, or he has obviously outplayed his contract after 3 years, he can negotiate for an extension.
Yeah.
Obviously, the team has the leverage and all that, but he's not doing wrong. He's doing his due diligence. He wants more money if he feels underpaid.
Well, there's ways to go about that.
Allen.
You can.
I'm all about this money though. But what I'm saying is, like, Jamal is doing it the wrong way because he's potentially damaging his brand.
Yes.
If he creates fight between the team, yeah, they may trade him to the Cincinnati Bengals, and then he may not get his money. You usually let your agent. When did you ever hear Revis say anything about his contract? Nope. But you knew he was always upset and wanted a new contract because his agent said it. We're getting sound bites from Jamal pulling. You know, he has to understand social media is live. You know what
they
I'm saying?
Loved Revis, though. He didn't have to worry about that.
No,
he doesn't feel loved.
But listen.
He doesn't feel it.
Because you want to know why they love Revis? Because we were winning playoff games. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference. Like, But listen. Myles Garrett got his money because they think that they're going to win this year, right? They still have bad contracts on the book. Jamal can get his money. He'll get more. Listen, I promise you, Jamal will get more if he get paid next year because Micah Fitzpatrick is going to raise it, and then Jamal can get his right after him, and then he'll get 3 to 4 more million annually. And then when you look at it, how much money he's made from now to then, it's not about how much you get paid. It's how often you get paid, and it's about being able to let somebody else reset the market. Dak Prescott has been waiting to set the market because you got Deshaun Watson that's going to break it, and then you got Mahomes is going to make it, and if the Ravens win Super Bowl, Lamar Jackson, even though Lamar Jackson is not a better quarterback than Mahomes, he's going to jump him. So if Lamar Jackson says, hey, I'm going to be patient and wait to get paid, he'll be jumped up another annually $8 million a year. It's not about being the highest paid. It's about being able to be a free agent and have options. You know what I mean? Who wants to get paid? You know what I mean? I was the highest paid linebacker in the league for about 3 months. You know what I'm saying?
We know that game. Yeah, you never stay the highest paid.
Right.
That's a game that people keep hurdling each other. But Vern, I appreciate it. Look, you got to get both sides of the story, and we want to make sure that we understand. Yeah, oh yeah, he certainly is in his rights to say I deserve more money. Mm-hmm. But there's a way to handle it, and for a franchise like the Jets, as I said earlier, this only makes a Jets fan just more frustrated, more annoyed. Like we've been through enough. Like, don't do this. If you care about fans that even a little bit, this ain't the way to handle it. And the Jets, I thought so far, are handling it the right way. 800-919-3776. Let's take Ryan and Fairlawn real quick. Ryan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
You got it.
So I called last month about the Knicks, and we were talking about Thibodeau and stuff. You guys got me so excited about Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if you're about to talk about that, but
we met.
Are there any? You said Utah, so I was like,
yeah.
I'm thinking, like, obviously we can afford to sign at least one other big name besides him. Do you think like Hayward or DeRozan or somebody like that might be good to add to the mix?
I don't know. Like, that's something because I don't know what really is going to be down the road, and I don't want to get too crazy loading up my payroll right away.
Giannis.
Don't do that. Don't do the Giannis thing, man. Now, you know what, Ryan? It's a good question. I think I'm going to be real curious to see how Leon and Wes operate here. As he said, they're going to be, quote, all in on all aspects of building a team. It's going to be a very short off season. You're only going to have about a month to get everything done, a draft and also some free agency. And you've got a lot of your own work to do, handling guys who are on options and everything else. So, I mean, I don't expect they're going to just do major renovations in one season, but it doesn't mean that during the season they can't also explore some things. But free agency-wise, spending money, if you're not going to get a top-tier guy, then I still would kind of keep it short-term. But we'll see. You know, there's still so many questions out there, but the first one that needs to be answered is who's going to be the head coach. But he's right. We are going to mention Donovan Mitchell again on Audio Files.
Audio file.
But we're going to make you wait for it. First, we're going to talk some football as Dan Graziano, who was on SVP last night, talked about the NFL kicking tires on what will be a new voting initiative, Bart.
A new voting initiative, an education and registration initiative that the NFL wants to get behind. Basically, they're saying they want everybody in the league, players, coaches, staff, executives, to be registered to vote and then use their platforms to try and get other people to register to vote. And where this is coming from in the NFL, and my sense is in these other leagues and colleges, is that the players have made it clear to the people in charge of of these leagues that this is an important issue to them. Commissioner Roger Goodell has talked to NFL players about issues. What can we as a league do to show support for the issues that you care about, you players? And one of the things that he has heard is the voting rights, the voting rights stuff. Get people registered to vote. Stress that it's important. So the league is throwing its support behind this, and you're going to hear more about it. They're going to work on it further, and it's an issue of the league trying to kind of put its money where its mouth is in terms of supporting causes and issues that are important to its players.
Once again, it's the action part, Bart, right? Like this is what they want. LeBron James has also been pushing this as well. How do you feel about it?
I mean, I think it's right on time because you want to be able to make social change. You can start with your local officials and be able to make change at a small level. See, so too often we try and worry about making these big splashes, but if you are able to change things at a local level, then it affects your community more because those are the people that directly make laws for you. So right on point. Him and LeBron is right on point. If they do that, and we talked to Anquan Boldin, he said what they did with being able to allow or pass legislation to have felons or former felons be able to vote in Florida. You know, this is just that same vision expanded, and they'll have $250 million, $25 million annually a year dedicated to social justice, because of the NFL has been gracious enough to donate that to that cause.
Also on the football front, Mike Tannenbaum, Mike T on Get Up. And this is a curious statement he's making here, and I'm wondering what you think of this, Bart, in Cleveland. Baker Mayfield will be on a short leash.
I know Kevin Stefanski really well. He's smart. He's deliberate. He's disciplined. He will have zero compunction to bench Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield will not throw 21 interceptions because when he's on track to do that, he'll be standing next to Kevin on the sidelines. Look at what Kirk Cousins did last year. Great offense, 6 interceptions. So I know Kevin, the standards are going to be high. His timeline is a lot longer in Cleveland than Baker Mayfield's is. And if Baker plays well, which we all hope, and you talked about the additions, great. But as soon as those picks start, he will be on the sidelines, and Kevin will not flinch. There's one other interesting dynamic here, guys. It's a rookie head coach. If Baker Mayfield has a bump in the road early in the season, he may not say this publicly, but I'm telling you that here's what Kevin Stefanski is thinking. This is an opportunity. If I bench Baker Mayfield, they're going to all fall in line. And what have we said over the last couple of years? Cleveland has underachieved as an organization. Penalties, turnovers. If Mayfield gets benched, even if it's for a game or two, I promise you, he'll get the attention of that whole team.
Uncle TB and messed around and told it's gay the Da Vinci Code out. So now when they see it, they're like, hogwash. I don't know. This is a team that wants to win right now, believes they can win. That's why they're paying players like Myles Garrett. They went out there and they were aggressive in free agency. I mean, hell, they went out and got Hooper. You know, this team is loaded. If they don't perform, but you may want to send that message early to get everybody to fall in line and then give him back his place on the team. This is a huge year for Baker Mayfield, just like this is a huge year for Sam Darnold. Baker Mayfield, if he can't get it done with this lineup, what can he get it done with? I mean, you talk about an outstanding defense, the best left tackle or right tackle in Conklin, and then going to get the left tackle, in the draft. It's crazy.
But we're going to do something we don't always do. Yes, we got an audible going right now. Audio files is being put on hold because...
Fifth.
Remember I told you I reached out to Jamal Crawford, check in with him, see if Molly wants to come on the show.
Not the GOAT that ages like Benjamin Button, not that one. That one?
Jamal Crawford is on with us right now. How many seasons have you been in the NBA? And I'm waiting. Are you going to sign with a team and jump in that bubble? Are you ready?
We'll see. I'm definitely ready. Been ready all year, but we'll see how that goes. I've talked to teams, but no official offer yet. So we'll see how it goes moving forward. But yeah, 19 seasons to answer your question.
19 seasons.
Are you going to go for Vince Sanity's record? Now he's officially bowed out. Are you ready to go and eclipse?
No, Vince earned that one. He earned that. I'm gonna let Vince have that. If I get close to it, that's good enough. I'll gracefully bow out right then.
Jamal Crawford, longtime NBA, sixth man of the year winner, just a terrific player, terrific scorer, great human being also. For those who don't know, also played for the Knicks a million years ago. But I got to also ask you something. I saw you tweet the other day as the Knicks added William Wesley, Worldwide West, to their front office with Leon Rose. And you gave it a big thumbs up on social media. Tell us about Wesley. Tell us about Worldwide West, the guy you know, and what you think he can bring to the Knicks.
Well, I think he'll be great. I think in this business especially, I've known Wes since I was in high school, actually. He's DeJuan Wagner's godfather.
Yep.
And me and Wani Wagner were on the same team at camp. So I've known him literally since, you know, 24 years ago. I'm aging myself. But a long, long time ago. And he's always been the same person. Never changed up. Always been about people and about kids. And this business is relationships as well. You know, so to go that amount of time and not piss people off or not burn any bridges and be able to get in contact with these great players and these, you know, up-and-coming players and be in the loop with that, I think it's a win-win for the Knicks. He's just a stand-up guy. You know, he really is. And, you know, there's something bad to say about anybody, but I have never heard anything bad about him, never experienced anything bad about him. He's just a stand-up guy, and he'll represent the Knicks well.
But now that he has the official title, is it going to be harder for him to move in silence, you know what I'm saying, get in those dark alleys, have those conversations, be able to, you know, deliver those messages? He's going to have pigeon courier system now?
Well, I think the seed has already been planted before they even knew he was going to do this, right? Years in advance, because they know what kind of person he is. So they know if he's coming at them on the Knicks' behalf, he's saying the truth, you know, and what he's represented all these years in advance. So I think the work's been done for people that know him, but he can get you in those rooms with some of those players you may not have had a chance to get in the room with.
Now, we heard KD and Kyrie, you know, when they had opportunity to come to the Knicks, decide to go elsewhere. And one of the phrases that Kevin used was that the Knicks weren't cool. Does this make them cool? And if this makes them cool, what type of head coach makes them even cooler?
Well, see, I definitely think it makes them cooler already. But I think a head coach like a Mike Woodson, I think a head coach like a Mark Jackson, those type of guys who have experienced New York in one way or another, Woody as a coach and Mark Jackson as a player, guys who have coached at high levels before, I think can make them even cooler. I mean, think about it. Woody was the coach of the last good team that went to the playoffs there.
That's right.
You know, so, and he never really got a chance to finish the job. So I would think those two that jump off the page to me right now.
It's great to see Woody's name on that list. I mean, there's about 11 candidates out there, but it's great to see that he's one of those guys on the list, because you'd love to see him get that chance to kind of finish, you know, certainly what he started. Did you agree, Jamal? And again, you played here in New York. You know what it's like to play here. The fans still love you when you come back because of the way you carried yourself, not only as a terrific player who could score and make big plays, but also as a player with class and dignity as well. People remember that stuff. When you saw where the Knicks went, though, after the Carmelo years, and, you know, then obviously Porzingis being traded, and you see what they've been through these last couple of seasons, and then them hoping to get Durant, and then him not coming here and instead going to the rival Nets. When you see the Knicks and where they are and where they've been, as a guy who once played here, how did it make you feel?
Yeah, it's disheartening, you know, because my two favorite places to play were in New York and with the Clippers. So I still root for them. And I think the league is better when the Knicks are doing well. You know, I didn't make the playoffs while I was there, but the Garden was electric every single night. Like, it was a playoff atmosphere. So I could only imagine, you know, being on a winner there. And guys have a chance to experience that. So for me, it's been disheartening, but I think they can get on track now. I think something is solid in place. And I really believe, I know Leon Rose for a while. He never even represented me. But I know the guy he is. And being in place, I think they'll move forward in the right direction from here on out. You know, I know New Yorkers are tired of hearing that, right? I think they've heard it for so many years. But I truly believe, wholeheartedly believe, now they're on the right track.
Now, the Knicks conversation is for tomorrow, but I want to talk about today. And today pertains to you and getting back involved and, you know, maybe getting an opportunity to win a championship. You know, do you see this as an advantage, the fact that you had the entire season off, and that, you know, you probably never dipped down as far as getting out of shape, you know, you to have injuries to recover from? Some of these players are going to come back and face soft tissue injuries. What did you do throughout the entire year to keep yourself ready, and then specifically during this whole unrest with the pandemic?
Well, I've done some everything. Before the pandemic hit, I was playing 5-on-5 games at least 3 to 4 times a week. So I was trying to keep myself on an NBA schedule, because if the call came at any time, I wanted to be ready to go. I wanted my skills sharp. I wanted to be in basketball shape. You know, and then when the pandemic hit, it was obviously a little bit more challenging just with the social distancing as far as getting with people. So I had to really rely on the pool, on boxing stuff I have at my house, and the VersaClimber, and just running and still doing basketball stuff, just not playing 5-on-5. So it's been a little bit challenging, a little bit more challenging lately.
But for me, it's definitely something that I would look forward to, and I would be ready if the situation came, because my body wouldn't be in that shock that a lot of players may be in from not playing the last 4 months.
Jamal might be 40, but he's a guy that you know. Like,
he's Benjamin Button, man.
I turned
20
twice.
I've turned 10 five times.
There you go. That's the best way to look at it. Because you know what? If I start thinking that way, then I'll be like, you know what? I don't need to work out today. Or I don't need to do it today. And you start giving yourself that built-in excuse, and that's what I don't want. So I got to stay sharp.
You're that guy, though, that if there's runs somewhere, you can show up and lace them up, and you're ready to go. Like, you're one of those few guys, I don't think it takes a lot to really get the engine going. But if you had the chance, though, to get to Orlando, to play for one of the teams and be part of it and entering the bubble, is there, you know, I know you're up on this because you're a huge NBA fan, so you know all the protocols and everything that's in place. Would you have any apprehension at all? It doesn't sound like it, but, you know, could you understand players who do?
No, I understand players who do, and I understand players who want to go there. You know, obviously, the cases have really spiked in Florida, you know, so I would definitely be a little apprehensive with that because this pandemic is real. You know, it's very real. People are seeing people lose people all over, and it's contagious, you know, easily spread. So I would definitely be a little bit more cautious with that, something I have to talk over my wife and family. But if, you know, we felt good about it, I would definitely go play. Try to do well. I was there.
Do you think it's something that, especially for teams that are going to, you know, go to the distance, that players can handle, like staying in that kind of a very restrictive environment? You can't go out, you know, you basically are just staying there in Disney. Is that something that is going to be, like, the longer it goes, the more you're going to wonder who's going to pop the bubble?
Yeah, see, the thing is, I think mentally you have to make the transition before you actually go. You have to definitely say, okay, I'll be isolated, you know, I'll be on a campus, I'll be here for 4 months or up to 3 months, and, you know, it won't feel normal. It's not anything I'm used to. I'm not sleeping in my own bed at all and all those different things, but you have to understand what you're playing for. And if you really wholeheartedly believe that you have a chance at a championship, then you have to sacrifice those 3 months and give yourself the best chance at it. And I think that's what guys are really going to do and lock in and say, hey, I can give up 3 months of my life. I just gained 4 extra months with my family at home. You know, that I probably wouldn't have gotten. So I've got to lock in and go for it.
Yeah, it's like doing Fed time, right? You know, but
hey, there it is. Except you see Mickey, you may see Mickey running around. So you see, all right.
Now, tell me this: like, do you think they should have went to the expanded playoffs? And this is you think this is all about getting maybe Zion in because he's good for the game, for the future of the game? Or do you think they should have just went with the regular format? That way, they could have, you know, not spent as much time.
Yeah, the regular format probably would have been the scenario everybody wanted, but this isn't a regular situation. And obviously, you know, you have to kind of spice it up and make it interesting. So now, you know, getting within 4 games of a team, if you're the ninth place team, you get a chance to have a play-in. It gives them some incentive, and there'll be some different things to look at. And I think, you know, there was no perfect way to do it. So the way it did it is pretty thought out, and, you know, hopefully it turns out to be a good show for everybody.
Oh, 3-time sixth man of the year, played over 1,300 games in the NBA and still wants more. Jamal, thanks for jumping on. Last second here, we changed
all
the segment
20,
just for
20,
you.
All at 20, all
but
at 20.
We want to get you in one more time. We'd love to see you play again because in this type of format, when you know it's just you got to win some games, tournament style, this is perfect for you. So hopefully you get somewhere, and thanks so much for the time. It was great to hear from you.
Anytime. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
There's two cuts from audio files that I didn't get a chance to play that I think are interesting enough that we should play. Number one is like, no, let's not do that. Remix. We don't need to restart audio files. But what we have is what I told you about. Donovan Mitchell, a situation going on in Utah right now. He's becoming a very powerful, strong, intelligent voice as a player speaking out about social issues. And where he plays in Salt Lake City, as he is making note of, it's a place where he can't believe that people cheer for you, but yet do and say the things that they say about your people, is kind of what he's saying. He can't believe, how can you cheer for us and then say the things you're saying? Look in his mentions. He's dealing with a lot right now in Salt Lake City. And I just said it could reach a point where he feels like, you know what, get me out of here. I got Rudy Gobert coughing all over me. Yeah. And I got a fan base that I'm not too comfortable playing around anymore. They do have a reputation there. Not all now. A lot of Jazz fans have actually been very supportive. Yeah. But there's still an element in Salt Lake City that I know he's not comfortable with. And the Jazz coach, Quinn Snyder, was on a video conference, and he also spoke up about this, which you can tell Quinn Snyder is very aware this is becoming an issue, and he's trying to make sure it doesn't get any worse.
I'm extremely proud of Donovan that he's articulating, even in the form of a post. Obviously, that's a form of expression, something that he feels that is important personally and important to our society, you know, generally speaking, at large. You know, there were a lot of positive comments surrounding Donovan's post. That said, there were also some comments that were, you know, abominable and things that we all should never tolerate. So to the extent you can rationalize some of those negative comments by saying there were positive comments, I think that's a mistake. That we all have to be that diligent, because as long as those comments are there, there's work to be done.
I mean, I feel you could tell that the coach there is very aware. Yeah. This is something that we've got to get behind him and show him support. Otherwise, we might lose him. So, as I said, just, you know, Donovan Mitchell is you can, if I follow him, and he's a very strong voice.
Yeah.
And there's some people reacting to those things that he's saying that make you wonder, if I'm him, do I really want to be around people like this that are cheering for me and yet saying this stuff to me in my mentions?
And it's one thing for it to be like opposition, but for your own fan base,
that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you go there, you like, no, I'm cool, but then like if you see me or my family out there, then you're uncomfortable. And you know, we've heard, you know, some of the comments that have come out of Utah going back all the way to, you know, the Last Dance and thinking about what happened when Karl Malone was there. Times are changing, and maybe they're not changing enough, and maybe this could be just an excuse that he needs to get out of there and just get a change of scenery and play where he wants to play. Because like you said, when you get drafted, you don't go where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now you got an opportunity to go where you want to go with people that you trust, and you're still early in your season where you're not saying, hey, man, I may not ever get there.
Well, it's just something, like I said, I'm not trying to predict anything's going to happen, but I am telling you it's something.
Be first, Leon Rose,
I'm watching this thing closely. Meanwhile, the guy that didn't want to come to the Knicks is Kevin Durant. And he's on Dog Talk IG, telling Nets fans that even if I was healthy, I wouldn't be playing in this bubble.
I probably wouldn't have played because, I mean, it's just the unknown going into that situation looks crazy right now. You know, I've seen so many new cases and, you know, it's just so unpredictable. So, I mean, it's easy for me to say right now because I'm injured, but I probably wouldn't have went down there.
What?
And if the guys feel safe enough to go play, that's cool. I'm with them. If they don't feel like they should go down there and play or feel safe, I'm with them too. So I'm all about what the group wants. And, you know, if it's good for the betterment of the whole group, then I'm cool with it. So, but I probably would have chilled. I mean, obviously I had to talk to my teammates and consult with my guys and actually really went over it for the last month and a half. But me, my gut would have told me, nah, I probably wouldn't want to go down there, especially after 3 months off.
What the
hell is he talking about?
Well, he is saying that if the team wanted to go, he'd probably go.
Didn't he have it? How the hell you gonna catch it twice?
Oh wait, that's a good point.
What the hell are you talking about? What the hell is he talking? Is he hanging around it. Kyrie drinking it, bro? You got it from kissing DeAndre Jordan. How the hell are you gonna tell me that you worried about getting sick? You got 90 days of immunity. You can go around and you can leave the bubble. What the hell is he talking about, man? Like, we going through this whole thing. Yeah, I'm injured, you know, but it would have been a group. You had it. Come on, son. Like, did he forget that we knew that he had it? Did he think he hit with the HIPAA law kicked in? No, you volunteered it. What the hell is he doing? That whole conversation. I wish, please hit me with the, we are now all dumber from listening to Kevin Durant.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
You made everybody in the room so dumb that Alan forgot that you already had it. Like, yeah, man, you know, he is injured, man. He might have gave it a shot. He had it.
Yeah, it's true. He actually has the antibodies.
What the hell are we talking about?
He actually does have
He could go right now and go, Ezekiel Elliott, Gobert, and Donovan Mitchell can go to Disney World right now and ride all the rides.
Oh, Bart, I'm going to miss you. I'll see you later. K-Show next.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.